This week on the Art Beat, we talk about Kentucky Crafted The Market, which celebrates its 35th year, Saturday and Sunday, April 22nd and 23rd, downtown at the Lexington Convention Center. Tom Musgrave is the Communications Director of the Kentucky Arts Council.
Kentucky Crafted The Market is the largest art marketplace in Kentucky. It features close to 200 Kentucky artists, Kentucky proud food vendors, and select artists from other states we invite every year. The Kentucky artists who are exhibiting in this show are juried members of the Kentucky Arts Council's Kentucky Crafted program. It exemplifies the highest level of craftsmanship in the state. Each of our artists are brand ambassadors for that. It is one of the only shows of its kind in the country that is supported by a state arts agency, and we're very proud of that fact. We've got music on the Kentucky stage. It's included in the admission to the market. Our Kentucky Arts Council Performing Artist Directory will be performing on the Kentucky stage both Saturday and Sunday. Saturday's show's a little bit special because at noon, the Folklife program from Western Kentucky University is going to be presenting the Homer Ledford Award to Doug Nazelrode. Doug is a Winchester native, but he does a lot of work in Hindman with the Dulcimer Project there. We're happy that the Folklife program has chosen our event to present this prestigious award.
Diana Thomas is an artisan who makes jewelry out of polymer clay. She's been exhibiting at Kentucky Crafted The Market for the past 3 years.
I think it's probably one of the most exciting events that we've ever participated at. We do several others in Tennessee and Indiana, but this is by far the best display of artisans that you'll see in this state or any other state. The quality is amazing, and the program has just been so beneficial for artisan entrepreneurs. It's really catapults your business when you're able to come and be a part of this event. I've been making this jewelry since about 2012 when I met my to-be business partner. We just kind of happened upon each other. He had already experience in making polymer clay canes. I was already making a jewelry line. He asked me to make a piece for his wife with one of the canes he had already made. And once I was done with it, I showed all my friends and they went crazy over it. And then within about 3 or 4 months, we were an official business.
You say it's a cane.
Now, it's like a rod. If you've ever seen the candy that they make at Christmas that is circular and might have a Christmas tree in the center or maybe the shape of a candy cane, it's kind of the old process of building different elements, and it gets smaller as you reduce the size. The diameter gets smaller, but it gets longer, and I may take slices of that. I know that's visually probably hard to imagine, but it's based on an Italian technique in glass called millefiori. I like to think of myself as always being a creative person. I always look at things and always have, not necessarily for what they are, but what they could be. So if I go into a store with lots of beautiful things, like handmade things, or going into a Hobby Lobby or Michael's, I'm constantly looking at something and trying to figure out what I can do differently with it. I always wanted to be an artist. I never went in that direction, but I did go to Berea College, and I was a theater major. I did make brooms. I did learn how to do the weaving of the broom handles while I was there. I never really dove into being a theater major. It was more of my hobby. I went in a different direction with tourism, and now I'm in education. But I just kind of accidentally got into this right around the age of 50. So, you know, don't ever stop dreaming because you can become whatever you want to be. And I think that's probably been the biggest lesson to me, is I'm finally doing what I really, really, truly enjoy. When I travel places and I love different cultures and such, I'm always looking for something that I can wear from that country. And I didn't realize that until I became a jewelry artist, that it means way more to me if I can wear it than if I can hang it on my wall. So it's kind of interesting what direction my life took me in.
Melissa Aish is an artisan who makes books out of reclaimed and recycled materials. This is her fifth year exhibiting at Kentucky Crafted The Market.
I'm a bookmaker, so I make journals and sketchbooks that are blank for other people to draw or write in. And I work with all reclaimed and recycled materials, so mostly reclaimed leather and then some coffee bags, vintage book covers, that sort of thing. I'm self-taught. I didn't do like paintings or like typical art kinds of stuff, but I was always writing things, hence the whole journal connection, writing stories and poems and whatnot, but also just creative in the sense of like dance was always the form that that took. As far as actually bookmaking, that kind of, I feel like, found me. I actually studied English in college, so I kept reading and writing all throughout that. And then when I got out is when I started learning how to actually make the journals and still tried a couple other career options before I before this one kind of chose me. So I work with a lot of recycled paper, and then I do use some handmade paper, but I have someone who makes that for me because I do the bookbinding, so I'm doing a lot of sewing, and that takes up all my time. When I teach classes, I always tell them I do variations of what techniques you would see out there. I tend to do a lot more knots, and I like things really good and sturdy, so I've kind of adapted my own version of it.
When you say when you teach classes, are you going to be doing any demonstrations at the market?
I probably will be doing demonstrations. There, if I'm with customers, that will
and it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because you want to sell some.
Yeah, exactly. But I will also, I will have materials on hand. So when there's downtime or if I'm just talking leisurely with people, I tend to keep my hands busy and just keep sewing.
How long does it take to make a journal?
It definitely depends on the journal, but I say on average it takes a couple hours. There's a lot of involved even with just the cutting and folding the paper and preparing the holes for sewing before you even touch the cover or even start binding the book. That people don't even think about that part of making a book. But
are these pocket sized or a little larger? Or
they are all sizes. All sizes. I have pocket sizes. I have giant sketchbooks that you probably don't want to carry around all the time because you'd be like lifting weights.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so there you can find a variety of sizes, and also I have refillable ones. So it's all kinds of journals.
How many can you make in a day?
My goal is frequently 10, but that is usually more than I can actually get complete, but I can get 10 started. So I'm always feeling like I'm a little bit trying to catch up, but I like to kind of reach high, you know.
Yeah, that seems like a lot. How many are you going to bring to the market, for instance?
That's a great question. Probably somewhere around 100. I've been working on it for several months. I also work really long days, so.
Mm-hmm. You
but
have
I,
to.
I find that the act of binding a book is very calming, and it's also, quiet. I'm in my studio alone, so it allows space for thinking and, you know, meditating and ideas and all that kind of stuff. So it's, it's a good fit.
I like that somebody is still out there making books in this day and age when everybody's looking on their phone and they can't stop it. I like the idea that somebody's taking the time to make the book and hopefully fill it in.
Yeah, and I do have people come in and they're like, aren't these kind of outdated? Like, who even buys these anymore? But I feel like because of all the computer stuff and Kindles and everything that people are more drawn to these because it's a tactile object. And so, you know, there's something about an old book with touching it and smelling it. And that's how it is with these journals. And they're also popping up a lot more in kids' movies. So kids love these. And little boys, I mean, coming in and seeing a leather journal that they can fill in with all their adventures and inventions, it's very cool. For a lot of us, it's the first, like, bigger show that we all get to see each other again after the winter. And a lot of the community comes out and a lot of people drive in from Kentucky and Indiana and surrounding places. There's so much stuff for different people, whether you're into art or you're into music or food or a little bit of all of it. It's just got good variety and high quality on all the levels.
You can walk into somebody's booth and pick up an item that you're interested in, and you can ask that artist, what is the story behind this particular piece of work? I've purchased one of Melissa's journals before. I wanted a journal, and I saw her work, and I said, well, there's something I'd like. And there's a little swatch of fabric that she has incorporated into the cover of this journal. And I said, well, that's really neat. And she told me where she found it. And that's the neat part of being at Kentucky Crafted, the market, that you can't get at any other consumer opportunity. You can't go to a big box store and ask about an item that's on the shelf and get that kind of story. And it's very exciting to be able to do that, and very interesting. Folks of all ages, it's not just for kids, can come in the hands-on activities area, which is another area that's included in the price of admission for the market. And on Saturday, there is going to be a demonstration by luthiers, folks who make stringed instruments from the Heinemann School of Luthery. They're going to be demonstrating and showing people how they go about creating their instruments. Now, you're not going to be able to go home with an instrument that you've made, but they're going to put instruments in front of you and show you, you know, the process, and certainly that's going to tie in with the Homer Ledford Award that is being presented on Saturday. So visit the hands-on activities area if you just need a break from walking around the aisles, and you will. There's a lot to see, a lot of visual stimulation for sure, but it's all wonderful. The Department of Agriculture are great partners of ours in helping us secure Kentucky Proud food vendors for this show, and they really help add to the flavor of it. You're in a situation in the exhibit hall where most everything is Kentucky made, and we like that.
Tom, how do people get tickets?
Tickets are available at the door.
And I'm sure there's a website to find more information.
www.artscouncil.ky.gov.
Everything is set for the 35th annual Kentucky Crafted the Market, April 22nd and 23rd at the Lexington Convention Center.
I might add, on Friday, we have the trade-only day for businesses. So anybody who's in, for example, in charge of corporate gift buying, artists like Melissa and Diana would love to have the opportunity to talk with you about making those kind of purchases.
Diana, Melissa, Tom, thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
I'm Joe Conkright for WUKY.